keep every piece of you. All the lies and the truths, all the trophies from your youth, and the phone you used to call me on. I would put them all up on the shelf just to be close to you. Kisses and the fights, our first Christmas lights, the silver comb for your short black hair. I would put each one in its very own box just to have you near to me. Some people just see a pile of junk, they don't know that it's pieces of. My side. Hear you laugh one more time. Feel your hand holding mine. See that hungry look in your eyes. I would hide your keys so you couldn't drive. Then you'd still be here with me. Some people just see a pile of junk. They don't know that it's pieces. Pieces of you. Pieces of
that was the song Pieces of You by Ben Solee. Hello and welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Ben Solee is a Kentucky-born cellist, singer, and composer. His music is a mix of folk, bluegrass, jazz, and R&B. He's known for his activism around mountaintop removal strip mining and his collaborations with environmental and social justice organizations. KBNF's Michelle Amiot spoke with Ben at this year's Folk Festival in Lyons. Michelle began by talking to Ben about Pieces of You, which is an homage to artist Lewis Bickett, who spent his adult life collecting and tagging things from his existence. The work is called simply The Archive. Here Ben talks about this work of art and the inspiration for the song.
You know, this incredible collection of stuff that he's carefully cataloged, labeled, and displayed in his apartment. Trash from, you know, Beverly Hills, old prescriptions, underwear from past lovers. And when you walk into his apartment, you might imagine that it's very cluttered. There's a lot of stuff going on, but it's actually fairly tidy. And it's an overwhelming sense of humanity because you get at least a taste of just how many things we interface with as humans on this planet. I mean, all the things that we touch along the way. And he was recently diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. And I was thinking about him and his artwork and all those things that are going to be passed on to his partner, and how they're not just things, they all have meaning, and they all are worth something. They're pieces of art. And in thinking of that, I wrote the song Pieces of You, because in truth, like, unless someone knows what that object, whether it's, you know, an old book or a piece of clothing, unless someone knows the story behind it, there's no way for it to have value to that person. And I think that's what I love about Louis's archive. And so when he passes on all of his things, we'll go to his partner. And I just thought the song was a good opportunity to make a portrait of him and his things.
So back in, was it 2009, you did the Ditch the Van tour?
It's true. Yeah, it was our first music tour by bicycle. And it started in my hometown of Lexington, Kentucky, and went 330 miles down south to Bonnaroo Music Festival. And I learned a lot about myself on that tour. I put my bicycle on a long-frame cargo bike called an Extra Cycle, and rode up and down the hills of Kentucky in the very, very hot summer months. And we played shows along the way, and I found that the bicycles offered a really beautiful limitation, so that I wasn't, you know, at the, I wasn't working with a vehicle where people were like, "Hey, can you make it to this town by the morning time?" You know, they knew I was on a bicycle, so it created boundaries and limitations, and I find that I've started using that process in my art these days too.
I found I watched a couple of the videos that you guys did during that, and you said, and I just loved it, "We ride in an effort not so much to be greened, but to be a little more human about the face of touring."
Right.
And so have you indeed carried that with you now that you're not doing everything on bike?
Yeah, I try my best to. I think that's, you know, a huge part of that is just trying to, you know, create some type of boundaries on the road, whether that's, you know, the number of shows booked along the way, or that's, you know, what type of vehicle we're traveling in, or the amount of gear that we bring. We also do what we can to encourage people to bike and walk to the shows by offering them a merch token, basically, where it, you know, they get $5 off at the merch table if they ride their bike, walk, or take public transit. So, yeah, definitely still try to do that, but it's hard. Like, as soon as you get in a vehicle, as soon as you buy a ticket for that train, and as soon as you get in an airplane, you have suddenly, you've entered us like a superhuman place where you're time traveling. I mean, there's no other time in history where a human has been able to be, to wake up in New York and fall asleep in San Francisco. And here we are now.
It's definitely true. And what about in your personal life? How do you balance, you know, being a musician, being on tour, having a family, and then also being involved and in causes you believe in?
I don't balance it. I offer the analogy of juggling, because it's often the case that, you know, you're throwing one thing up in the air and taking your attention away from it for a moment so that you can focus on the other things that are being juggled. And sometimes things drop. Sometimes, certainly, I make huge mistakes all the time. But I've, again, tried to enforce some amount of pace and boundaries into my life. And those are often just, you know, I don't want to go on the road for more than 10 days at a time so that I can be present for my family. Sometimes I have to stretch that. Quite often I stay underneath that. But that makes it hard to scale in the industry, because what it takes really to grow as an artist is a ton of time on the road. And so I find myself, you know, really kind of in a bit of a conundrum right now, because I feel like I'm advocating for, you know, awareness about climate change and reduction in carbon footprint, for industry, for cities, for public transportation, all these things. But I myself am racing around the world at this superhuman pace, using a lot of resources, including my personal health. And I don't know if we can continue doing that, because people around the world look at the American lifestyle and idealize it. And if we all say, "Hey, we need to sign up for that accord and reduce our carbon footprint by this and this and this, and buy LED light bulbs and, you know, all that stuff," at the end of the day, you have to actually change your scope of lifestyle for it to change the direction of the rest of the world. And so I'm struggling with how to do that as a musician, whether I can do that as a musician.
Laying at the bottom of the pool, looking up at the rippling sky. Down here it is quiet, down here I don't have to try to fix it all. But I can't hold my breath all the time. Typing on the keys and talking to the screen. I subscribe to the whole world, every profile, every newsfeed, as hard as I try. I just can't care enough. The highway are tied to the front porch gate. They're growling and barking, howling like an engine brake through this small town. That's when I know that I can't stay.
Ben Sully at Rocky Mountain Folks Fest in Lyons, Colorado, and in this beautiful park surrounded by lots of lovely people, as you can hear. You've just released the album, Ben Sully and Kentucky Native.
It's true. Yes, we got together in a cabin in the woods of Bernheim Research Forest back in January of this year, and we all stayed together, we cooked for each other, we drank bourbon together, and we created this record, Kentucky Native. And the driving concept behind the record, not that it's a concept record, but was to continue the practice of bluegrass music rather than the maintenance of the tradition. And that means continuing to include immigrant music of today in the bluegrass idiom, because bluegrass is this incredible distillation of immigrant music from Scotland and Ireland and gypsy jazz and African influences as well as gospel. And all those things come together to make this iconic American music that we call bluegrass. But the practice of inclusiveness kind of closed down a little bit, you know, I don't know, in the 60s. And you had, you know, you certainly had other interpretations, newgrass and so on. But actually, like, the concept of grabbing some of the actual folks that live in Kentucky and using their influences in the music. So the record features a lot of music of Mexico, Wapango music and San Huasteco music. It features influences from the Congo and Somalia. All of these are people that, you know, live in and around Kentucky. And if you listen as you're driving down the road or walking down the street, you can hear all this music happening there, and it's influencing the music of Kentucky.
That's really wonderful. I'd read a quote and heard you talking about that on stage, and I didn't realize quite the expansiveness of the roots and the practice, so I appreciate that. One thing you'd said about this album is that you'd had other albums that were message-specific and talking about causes you believed in, but you said maybe this album shouldn't be about... Maybe my message shouldn't be about an issue. Maybe it should be about people. What do you mean by that?
When I started my career, I was writing a lot of songs that were politically or, you know, socially driven. They were songs that had messages in them. And as I traveled around the world, played in more and different places from, you know, China and Australia and, you know, all throughout Europe, it became harder to really justify using the stage to, like, deliver a message rather than using the stage to kind of entertain and recharge and connect people. Because I believe that music as a technology is best used to generate affection. And by that, of course, I mean not hugs and kisses, but rather intimate knowledge of a person or a place or an issue. And if I can raise awareness about mountaintop removal strip mining, not by saying "Save Appalachia" from the stage, but rather writing a song about the beauty of walking up one of the creeks in Appalachia, you know, surrounded by the shale banks and the hemlocks, and create some affection. People tend to protect what they care about, and that's what I want to use my music for.
Carry Bell, don't you weep. Carry Bell, don't moan. Don't you hang your head and cry. Well, I'd pawn my watch and I'd pawn my jeans. Yes, I'd pawn.
Tuned in to Talk and Music on KVNF and an interview with artist Ben Soli. KVNF's Michelle Amiot spoke with Ben at this year's Rocky Mountain Folk Fest in Lyons.
When I got to know your music, especially with the Dear Companion album, we were using that a lot in our organizing efforts against mountaintop removal and against coal-fired power plants. So can you tell us a little bit about then, how? What do you think music's role in activism is?
I mean, I think music's role in activism is to help recharge the people that are on the ground, and because they need recharging. It's hard work out there being an activist. It's a hot fire that you're always burning. And then I think connecting other people to the issues that, you know, the activists are working around. As I mentioned, I don't necessarily find that when I'm inspired to write songs now that are specifically about the Atlantic Coast Pipeline or specifically about, you know, Standing Rock. I am certainly interested in writing songs that are about humans that are struggling in places like Standing Rock, in places like Virginia that are struggling with the Atlantic Coast Pipeline, and focusing on the humans rather than the issues, because the issues are all a product of struggle and, you know, people trying to protect something that they care about. And I feel like it's, you know, it feels surfacey to continue talking about the issues when I could use the stage and my music to really connect humans.
I so appreciate that, and I think you've really captured that in this album, and it has so many great stories to tell.
Thanks for taking time in the madness of festival land to catch me and tie me down to the grass here, and I appreciate you listening.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time, and thanks. Thank you again, Ben Sully. Yeah.
Well, teach me, baby. Should I fence in my heart, baby? Lord, keep it in the shade. Give it all the fruit it could want, except yours. Teach me, baby. Just exactly how far you are away. Should I stop walking now, baby? Wait another day. You know I don't need no man. Yes, I find my way. Teach me, baby. Oh, I promise I get it this time. Hold a bird in my hand and watch it grow. See those feathers bloom, but don't let it fly. Even though that's what it's supposed to do. Yes, 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 yes. Come on, play a while. Thank you. Well, I'm leaving, I'm walking back home. I don't care if it takes years or more. But as I walk through the hills of Kentucky, the leaves begin to turn red. I think of you. Yes, I think.